Krishna Pai Ma. Krishna 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 Rakshama Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshama Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Krishna Kesava Pai Ma Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Radha Madhuju ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind ki, Jai Om Vishnu Paraparamahamsa Paracchakacharya Ashtotarasvata Shri Shriman His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Iskon Pratista Acharya Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnava Vrind ki, Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shri Bhashati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinata Sham Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan ki jai Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai Navadeep Simai Padham ki jai Gangamai Jamunamai ki jai Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani ki jai Sri Hari Nam Sankitan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी महोत्सव तिथि की जय. सो आई थॉट वी कुड रीड समथिंग फ्रॉम द कृष्ण बुक. Prabhupada made the summary study of the 10th canto as the Krishna book. This was a source of inspiration in the early days before all the Bhagavatam was completed. We had the Krishna book, so everybody loved to read the Krishna book. I hope you all read it a few times at least. So here we're celebrating the birth of Lord Sri Krishna. So Vasudev, the father of Krishna, he sent Krishna, his family priest, Garga Muni. Garga Muni was the family priest of the Jadu dynasty, and Krishna was part of that, Nanda was a part of that. So he sent Vasudev, Garga Muni to see Ananda Maharaj and perform the name-giving ceremony. So he went to Vrindavan. Ananda was very happy to receive Garga Muni, and then he got different information from Garga Muni. But Garga Muni said, well, but Kamisari is very ferocious. If he finds out what's going on, he's bound to come here. He's killing all children in the vicinity. So if he finds out, he'll certainly be here with his soldiers. So better we do it very secretly. So did it in the cow shed, because Krishna's from a Ghosh, Vaishya, Ghosh, looking after cows. So they performed the ceremony in the cow shed. So then Garga Muni, he took the horoscope of Krishna according to his time of birth. So when Garga Muni was so eagerly requested by Nanda Maharaj, he performed the name-giving ceremony as secretly as possible in the cowshed of Nanda Maharaj. He informed Nanda Maharaj that the son of Rohini would be very pleasing to his family members and relatives, and therefore he would be not called Rama. Rama means very pleasing. In the future, he will be extraordinarily strong, and he will therefore be called Baladeva. Bala means strength. He said further, but because your family and the family of the Jadus are so intimately connected and attracted, his name will also be called Shankarshana. Shankarshana is all attractive. So Balaram is all attractive. Balaram is also famous for his beauty. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, and I was being allowed to dress Krishna Balaram. And you know, Balaram is white and Krishna is black. Anyway, I was dressing Balaram. You have to be close to dress him. I was very, very close. But then I looked into his face, and it was just so beautiful. It made me gasp, you know. It just took my breath away, his beauty. He's famous for his beauty, Lord Balaram. So naturally, he becomes very attractive. So this means that Garga Muni attracted three names to the son of Rohini, named Balaram, Shankarshana, and Baladev. But he carefully did not disclose the fact that Balaram had also appeared in the womb of Devaki and was subsequently transferred to the womb of Rohini. Krishna and Balaram are real brothers, being originally sons of Devaki. Garga Muni then informed Nanda Maharaj, as far as your son is concerned, this child has taken different bodily complexions in different yugas. First of all, he assumed the color white, then red color, then the yellow color. Who's the yellow color? Ganga Mahaprabhu ki. Now he has assumed a blackish color. Besides that, he was formerly the son of Vasudev, and therefore his name also should be called Vasudeva, as well as Krishna. Some people will call him Krishna, and some will call him Vasudev. But one thing you must know, this son had many, many other names and activities due to his different pastimes. Garga Muni further hinted to Nanda Maharaj that his son would be called Girithari because of his uncommon pastime of lifting Govardhana Hill. Since Garga Muni was an astrologer, he could understand everything, past and future, and thus he said, I know everything about his activities and names, but others do not know. This child will be very pleasing to all the cowherd men and cows. Being very popular in Vrindavan, he will be the cause of all good fortune for you. Because of his presence, you will overcome all kinds of material calamities, despite the opposing elements. So he gave some hints there of Krishna's divine appearance. Previously your son was born of Vasudeva, but he didn't understand it was Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj are brothers, but he couldn't understand. He was talking about his brother. He must have been someone else. So anyway, they kindly performed the pastimes of Krishna's name-giving ceremony and told him to take very good care of Krishna because many demons will be coming to try and kill him. You should always protect him nicely. So, this was the birth ceremony of Krishna. Then, after a little while, Krishna and Balaram, they began to crawl. First they were only laying down, after some time they could learn to roll over on their sides. The big achievement for a baby, he can move one side and then... they began to crawl on their hands and knees. When they were crawling like that, they pleased their mothers. Children are naturally attractive. Everything about them is attractive. Their sweetness, their sweet voices, the way they walk and fall over, and anything they do is very attractive, especially for the parents because they love them. So the bells tied to their waists and ankles made the fascinating sounds, and they would move around very pleasingly. Sometimes, just like ordinary children, they would be frightened by others and would immediately hurry to their mothers for protection. Sometimes they would fall into the clay and mud of Vrindavan and would approach their mothers, smeared with clay and saffron. They were actually smeared with saffron and sandalwood pulp by their mothers, but due to crawling over the muddy clay, they would simultaneously smear their bodies with clay. As soon as they would come crawling to their mothers, Jasoda and Rohini would take them on their laps and cover them with the lower portion of their saris, allow them to suck their breasts. When the babies were sucking their breasts, the mothers would see the small teeth were coming in. And thus, their joy would be intensified to see their children grow. Sometimes, the naughty babies would crawl up to the cow shed and catch hold of a tail of a calf and stand up. The calves being disturbed would immediately begin running here and there, and the children would be dragged all over the clay and cow dung. To see this fun, Jasoda and Rohini would call their neighboring friends, the gopis. Upon seeing these childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna, the gopis would be merged in transcendental bliss. In their enjoyment, they would laugh very loudly. Krishna and Balaram were so restless that their mothers, Jasoda and Rohini, would try to protect them from the cows, bulls, monkey, water, fire, and birds while they were executing their household duties, always being anxious to protect their children and to execute their duties. They were not very tranquil. So even in the spiritual world, they're not very tranquil. They're always in anxiety about Krishna, the parents. So especially for the small children, because they were just wandering around. And Krishna was in the farmyard. The big animals, bulls were there. They were walking around, and they're a bit. They may not see the little kids playing around there. Sometimes wild dogs would come. Wild cats, tigers, bug, bonbiral. They sometimes take babies. Wild cats. Even in Mayapur, we have some. Wild bonbiral. If you see, they're about this big. But they are known sometimes to come and take very small babies. And you get eagles and things like that. Eagles would also. So Mother Jasoda was always anxious. Just looking while she was doing her service to Krishna, always anxious that, you know, there's no calamity was coming for the small kids. In a very short time, Krishna and Balaram began to stand up and slightly move on their legs. When Krishna and Balaram began to walk, the other friends of the same age joined them together. And then they gave the highest transcendental bliss to the gopis, especially to Mother Jasoda and Rohini. The gopi friends of Jasoda and Rohini enjoyed the naughty childish activities of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. In order to enjoy the further transcendental bliss, they all assembled and went to Mother Jasoda to lodge complaints against the restless boys. When Krishna was sitting before Jasoda with all the elderly gopis, they began to lodge complaints against him so that Krishna could hear. They said, "Dear Jasoda, why don't you restrict your naughty Krishna? He comes to our houses along with Balaram every morning and evening, and before the milking of the cows, he let loose all the calves, and the calves drink all the milk of the cows. So when we go to milk the cows, we find no milk, and we have to return with empty pots. If we warn Krishna and Balaram about doing this, they simply smile so charmingly that we can't do anything. Also, your Krishna and Balaram find great pleasure in stealing our stock of yogurt and butter, wherever we keep it. And when Krishna and Balaram are caught stealing the yogurt and butter, they say, 'Why do you charge us with stealing? Don't you think that butter and yogurt are in scarcity in our house?' Sometimes they steal butter and yogurt and milk and distribute to the monkeys. And when the monkeys are well fed and do not take any more, then your boys try it. This milk and butter and yogurt are useless. Even the monkeys don't take it. And then they break the pots and throw them hither and thither. And if we keep our stock of yogurt and butter and milk in a solitary place, your Krishna Balaram find it in the darkness by the glaring effulgence of their ornaments and jewels of their bodies. And if by chance they can't find the hidden butter and yogurt, they go to our little babies and pinch their bodies so that they cry, and then they go away. If out of fear of these naughty boys we keep our stock of butter and yogurt high in the ceiling, hanging on a swing, although it's beyond the reach, they arrange to reach it by piling up all kinds of wooden planks over the grinding machine. And if they cannot reach it, they make a hole in the pot. We think that you had better take all the jewels or ornaments off the bodies of your children." On hearing this, Jasoda would say, "All right, I'll take all the jewels from Krishna so that he cannot see the butter in the darkness." And the gopis say, "No, no, don't do this. What good will you do by taking away all the jewels? We don't know what kind of boys these are, but even without ornaments, they spread some kind of effulgence, so that even the darkness, they can see everything." Mother Jasoda would inform them, "All right, keep your butter and yogurt carefully so that they cannot reach it." In reply to this, gopis said, "Yes, actually we do. But because we are sometimes engaged in the household affairs, these naughty boys enter our household and somehow or another spoil everything. Sometimes, being unable to steal our butter and yogurt, out of anger, they pass urine on the clean floor, and sometimes they spit on it. Now, do you see how your little boy is hearing all these complaints? All day he simply makes arrangements to steal butter and yogurt, and now he is sitting like a very silent good boy. Just see his face." When Mother thought to chastise her boy, after hearing all the complaints, she saw his pitiable face and smiling, she did not chastise him. Oh. When the gopis are churning butter and yogurt and things like that, they're thinking, I hope Krishna will come and steal my battle today. It's their only desire, that's why they're making it. I hope they will come. And they get the darshan of Krishna. So one time Jasoda, she has Krishna on her lap and she looks into his mouth. The boys are complaining, "Your boy, he ate mud. He's eating clay from the floor." So Jasoda said, "Let me see in your mouth, Krishna." He said, "I didn't eat clay. These boys are lying, my brother especially. They were angry with me today and now they're making ganging up on me. I didn't eat any." He said, "Let me see in your mouth." Krishna looked, Jasoda looked in his mouth, and what did she see? She saw all the ingredients necessary to create a universe. Everything that is manifested was all there in its different aspects. And she thought, "Am I becoming deranged? Am I becoming mad?" So then she started to pray, either it's due to some potency of yoga maya or mahamaya. But somehow or another, it's the Lord's energy is at play here. I cannot understand how I can see the universe in Krishna's mouth. Not only the whole universe, because she see herself in Krishna's mouth and Krishna was sitting on her lap. This was too much for her. She was bewildered. So she was praying to that supreme deluding potency. That potency tells me I am Jasoda, I am the queen of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj is my husband, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are my subjects because I am the queen. So this is some display of the illusory energy I am witnessing now, so please withdraw it so I can become a bit sane. So like this, Krishna would have different pastimes every day. He would kill at least 2 demons every day. This is part of his sadhana. He would kill a few demons. That was his pastime with all of his friends, they would do. So one time Lord Brahma was saying, "How come they're saying this little boy is God? He's Krishna, he's God." He says, playing with his friends in the with cows, he's covered in mud, things like that. How he can be God? So he decided to play a trick. So he, by his potency, he stole the calves and the boys, friends of Krishna, and he hid them in a cave. And so then he went back to the bank of the Jamuna and he saw Krishna and his friends and calves were still there, still eating their lunch. He said, "That's very strange. I just locked them in the cave and they're still here." But then he went back to the cave again and he saw that they were locked up in the cave. So he couldn't understand. He was becoming very bewildered. So finally, then Krishna revealed to him how he expanded. He was everything. And all the calves and the boys, they all became Vishnu Murtis. Not only everything, all the living entities around him, the trees and the grass, everything assumed the Vishnu Murti form. They're all offering praises and everything and glorifying him. It mentions tulsi leaves of the throne all over his body, or tulsi buds. So this was completely bewildering to Brahma. He's got 4 heads, first of all. He's the most intelligent person in the universe. But he was becoming so bewildered, he couldn't understand all these mystic powers. Not only Brahma, he failed to understand, but he was perplexed to see this display that's being manifested by Krishna before him. Krishna took compassion on Brahma because of his inability to see how Krishna was displaying the forms of Vishnu and transforming himself into calves and cowherd boys. Thus, While fully manifesting Vishnu expansions, Krishna suddenly pulled his curtain of Yogamaya on the scene. Yogamaya is that power which covers the reality. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not visible to the curtain spread by Yogamaya. That which covers the reality is Mahamaya, or the external energy, which does not allow the conditioned soul to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead beyond the cosmic manifestation. So this material cosmos is a manifestation of Krishna's external potency, and you cannot see beyond it, because that's all that's being manifested. So Mahamaya is covering the reality, and she does not allow the conditioned soul to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the cosmic manifestation. But the energy which partially manifests the Supreme Personality of Godhead and partially does not allow one to see is called Yogamaya. So Yogamaya lifts the curtains, and then you can see the spiritual realm. You can Nanda Prabhu says, when Yogamaya lifts her curtain, here Yogamaya, Prodamaya, Navadvip, she lifts the curtain of Yogamaya, then you will see here, this is the vast spiritual dwelling, many great palatial palaces here, devotees here, hundreds and thousands of devotees here, all incessantly mad with love of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtana is going on. This is all going on now, but it's covered by a curtain of Mahamaya. But when Krishna wants to reveal, then Yogamaya curtain lifts that covering and you can see the spiritual realm here. So it's one potency, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, one potency. They're just displayed differently. But they're not two different potencies. So anyway, this was Lord Brahma's... he was completely perplexed. He couldn't understand anything. He's the most intelligent person in the universe. So Krishna had to be kind to him and cover up the illusion so Brahma could come to his senses a bit more. Thus Brahma found Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing the part of a small cowherd boy. He saw that little child with a lump of food in his left hand searching for his friends and calves, just as it had actually been doing 1 year before. This is very beautiful. I like this very much. Lord Brahma has just become completely bewildered. Now he's going to try and offer some prayers to Krishna. And he said, "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipful Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore I am offering my obeisances and prayers just to please you. Your bodily feature, the color of clouds filled with water, you are glittering with an electric aura emanating from your yellow garments. Let me offer my respectful repeated obeisances unto the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is standing before me with a conch shell, earrings and peacock feather on his head. His face is beautiful. He is wearing a helmet and is garlanded by forest flowers. And he stands with a morsel of food in his hand. He is decorated with a cane, a buffalo horn, a bugle, and a flute. And he stands before me with his small lotus feet." So here is the picture Krishna, Lord Balaram is, Lord Brahma is seeing. He was thinking that Krishna is an ordinary kid, he's just a little boy. So then Krishna put this whole display of Mahamaya, completely bewildered Brahma. And now he's seeing before him that little Krishna is still there. He's got a lump of food in his hand, because when he left the boys, he was taking lunch. He left the boy, "I'll go and look for the cows, you continue with your lunch." So he was half eating, he had food. It was yogurt and rice, dohi bhat. Mother Jasoda would send a tiffin. The boys would get tiffin in the, when they're out in the forest. So generally you would take that yogurt mixed with fruits and sweets, something sweet. So he had that in his hand and he was just looking for his calves. The yogurt was trickling through his fingers. And Lord Brahma, this was his sin. He was just bewildered. How this can be God? And Lord Brahma says, you're standing before me with your small lotus feet. You look like a village boy. You have insufficient education. You just look like an ordinary village boy. But there is so much more difference between you and me and your body and my body that I cannot comprehend. So this was Lord Krishna's grace to Lord Brahma. He revealed this. But Lord Krishna was thinking, because Lord Brahma, he approached him in the mood that he's a kid, he's a little boy, how he can be God? So Krishna, as you surrender me, I reward you accordingly. So Lord Brahma's approaching Krishna as a little kid. So Krishna's reciprocating as a little kid. And he's standing there with his morsel of food in his hand and his flutes and bugles. And he's looking for his friends and calves. And he's saying, what's this funny man here with 10 heads doing? Why is he offering all these talking? I don't know what he's talking about. He's offering prayers to Krishna. I don't know who he's talking. I wish he would go, hurry up and go away because I'm looking for my friends. So that's the way Brahma approached. So that's the way he dealt with him. You know, he thinks I'm an ordinary boy, so I have to reciprocate. So I am an ordinary boy. Where's my cows? This guy with 4 heads. Why doesn't he leave? Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. So like this, every day they would kill different demons, and one day they wanted to take some tal fruit. Tal is a fruit. And the Sri Dham and Krishna's friend said, can you smell that? Coming from that Talavan forest, beautiful, all those fruits, they're all ripe. We're really, really hungry. We'd really like to eat those not ripe tal fruits. You can smell them. But Krishna immediately, of course, he wants to satisfy his friends. Let's go. So in that forest, there was a great demon. What was his name? Danuka. Shape of a? Ass demon, yeah. So Balaram went into the forest and with his mighty arms, and he started shaking the tal tree like anything, and all the ripe fruit started falling down. So everyone was happy. Except Danukushar. He said, what's happening there? Some disturbance in my forest. So he became very angry and he said, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Asses, when they kick their back legs. When they want to attack, they kick their back legs. They're very powerful. So he came running up to Balaram and he turned around and kicked Balaram's chest. Balaram didn't do anything. Danukushar was more angry. He charged at Balaram. Again he kicked him with his back legs. Balaram just caught both of his legs with one hand by his ankles and just started swinging him around and landed right up in a tree, top of a tala tree. Of course, then all the associates of Danukushar, also asses, these demons, they can assume different forms. So they were all assuming the form of asses. They all became angry. They charging, trying to kill Krishna and Balaram and their friends. But Krishna and Balaram killed each one the same way. They just caught their legs, spun them around. The forest looked very beautiful because the big palm trees are up. You know, palm trees, they grow straight and then all the leaves are on the top. So all these demons were on the top of the branches, but they're all different colors, grays, pinks, and things like that. So it looked very panoramic, very nice scenery here. Look at this. But then they left that place. They didn't eat the fruits because there was so much blood from killing all the asses. But anyway, that forest became open and everyone could go there and take the fruits. Even the birds could go back. So like this, Krishna performing his pastimes every day, different demons he was killing. And Krishna's friends, would, they would go home in the evening and they say, "Mummy, do you know what happened today? This big demon came and Krishna killed him so easily, so easy." So they would go home and tell all the fun that happened and how they killed everyone. So, then when Krishna became older, he was invited to go to Mathura by King Kamsa, who understood that Krishna is that person who's going to kill me. So Kamsa invited him for the Dandiyo Yajna. Dandiyo, bow, means bow. Huge bow they had. Huge. This was marking the site of the big sacrifice, Dandiyo Yajna. So they invited Krishna. The idea is that when Krishna comes, Kamsa will kill him here. So Krishna and his friends and a lot of the cowherd men, they all went to Mathura. King Kamsa lived in Mathura. So they arrived in Mathura and everybody, all the inhabitants of Mathura, Krishna and Balaram are here. They'd heard about Krishna and Balaram. They were relatives also, same family members. But they had heard about all of these wonderful activities. So all the ladies went up on the roof to see Krishna and Balaram when they were coming. They were all astonished by his beauty and they were throwing flowers on. Krishna was looking up and smiling at everyone. And they were just praising. How is it that these inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're so fortunate. Every day they see Krishna. Every day. We won't, once in a while we can see Krishna, but every day there's. What is their good fortune? And all the well-to-do brahmanas were coming out and meeting Krishna and Balaram and offering different kinds of worship. And Krishna was with his boyfriend. He said, "Let's go and have a let's have a look at the city." We walked through the city. They're from a village situation. Now we're a big city. Mathura was a very gorgeous city, very opulent. It was the most beautiful, opulent city in India, I think. Maybe even in the world at that time. But you got ransacked so much and destroyed by the Mughal invasions. After, they would always destroy Mathura again and again and again. But at one time it was the crest jewel of all cities. Anyway, Krishna and Balaram, they're village boys, but they're in the city. So everything is new for them, city life. So they're having a good time. So then they're walking through the streets completely carefree. This is Krishna. Such a nice quality he has. He's completely carefree. He has nothing to worry about whatsoever because everything is his. Everything is under his control. And even he doesn't have to claim ownership or control anything. It's all done by his energies. But he's completely free to do anything and everything. So they're just walking carefree through the streets of Mathura. And then they see the washerman. They saw a washerman and a dyer of clothing. And Krishna was very pleased to ask for some nice clothing. He also promised the washerman, if you deliver the nice clothing to him, he will become very happy and all good fortune will be his. Krishna was not a beggar, nor was he in need of any clothing. But by his request, he indicated that everyone should be ready to offer Krishna whatever he wants. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, this washerman was a servant of Kamsa, and therefore, he could not appreciate the demand of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the effect of bad association. He could have immediately delivered the clothing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who promised him all good fortune. But being a servant of Kamsa, the sinful demon, he could not accept. Instead of being pleased, he was very angry with the Lord's request. And he said, How is it you are asking for the clothing which is meant for the king? The washerman began to instruct Krishna and Balaram. My dear boys, in the future, don't be so impudent as to ask things that belong to the king. Otherwise, you will be punished by the government men. They will arrest you and punish you, and you will be in difficulty. I have practical experience of this fact. Anyone who unlawfully wants to use the king's property is very severely punished. On hearing this, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, became very angry at the washerman, and striking him with the upper portion of his hand, he separated the man's head from his body. Just with his hand here. This is, Judo, Bruce Lee?
Karate.
Karate, it's the original karate. Krishna performed, he's the origin of everything. This is the original karate chop. Generally when they give karate chop, it just hurts you. But when Krishna did it, head flew off. Very unusual weapon, this part of his hand. He cut his head off. After this ghastly incident, the employers of the washerman immediately dispersed, leaving the clothing, and Krishna and Balaram took of it, and they dressed according to their choice. So there's so much nice colorful clothing, chadars, turbans, all the boys also, after Krishna and Balaram, they all got cloth. So now they're all very happy, they're in nice new clothing, they're strolling through the streets of Mathura, completely carefree. Then they came to a florist whose name was Sudama. As soon as they came to the precinct of his house, the florist immediately came out and fell down and paid obeisances. He was a devotee. And he wanted to worship Krishna. Let me, please, please, let me make you a beautiful garland. So he got the choicest flowers that he had and put them all together and made a beautiful garland for Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna was very, very happy with his devotion. And he said, I give you my blessing that as long as you're in the material world, all your desires will be fulfilled. And at the end of this life, also you'll go back home, back to Godhead, just by offering a garland to Krishna. So, after leaving the forest place, Krishna and Balaram saw a hunchback young woman carrying a dish of sandalwood pulp. What was her name? Kubja. Okay. So she had ganda. Sandalwood means ganda. It means it was sandalwood paste, aguru, musk, camphor, saffron, something like that. Generally, it was some nice things, you know. Just described as sandalwood paste. That's one of the ingredients. So, since Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure, he wanted to make his companions joyous by cutting a joke with the hunchback woman. This is a hasya rasa, laughing rasa. Krishna said, okay, we'll have a little rasa here, rasa. Hasya rasa. Something to make us laugh. So Krishna was looking at his friends, and, okay, we'll have a joke with this lady who's got a hunchback. So Krishna addressed her, O tall young woman, who are you? Tell me, for who you are carrying this sandalwood pulp in your hand. I think you should offer the sandalwood pulp to me. If you do so, I'm sure you'll be fortunate. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew everything about the hunchback. By his inquiry, he indicated there was no use in serving a demon. She would do better to serve Krishna and Balaram and get immediate result of the service. The woman replied to Krishna, My dear Shamashunda, my dear beautiful dark boy, you may know that I am engaged as a maidservant to Kamsa. I am supplying him pulp of sandalwood daily. The king is very pleased with me for supplying this nice thing. But now I see there is no one else who can be better served by this pulp of sandalwood than you two brothers. Being captivated by the beautiful features of Krishna and Balaram, they're talking, they're smiling, they're glancing and other activities. The hunchback woman began to smear the sandalwood pulp over their bodies with great satisfaction and devotion. The two transcendental brothers, Krishna and Balaram, were naturally very beautiful and had beautiful complexions. And they were nicely dressed in colorful garments. The upper portions of their bodies were all very attractive. And when the hunchback woman smeared their body with sandalwood pulp, they looked even more beautiful. Krishna was very pleased by this service, and he began to consider how to reward her. In other words, in order to draw attention of the Lord, the Krishna conscious devotee should serve him with great love and devotion. Krishna cannot be pleased by any action other than transcendental loving service to him. Thinking like this, Krishna pressed the feet of the hunchback woman with his toes. Capturing her cheeks with his fingers, he gave her a jerk in order to make her straight. At once the hunchback woman became a beautiful straight girl with broad hips, thin waist, very nice well-shaped breasts. And since Krishna was very pleased with the service of the hunchback woman, and since she was touched by Krishna's hand, she became the most beautiful girl among women. This incident shows that by serving Krishna, the devotee immediately becomes elevated to the most exalted position in all respects. Krishna was attracted to the hunchback woman, not for her beauty, but because of her service. As soon as she rendered service, she immediately became the most beautiful woman. A Krishna-conscious person doesn't have to be qualified or beautiful. After becoming Krishna-conscious and rendering service to Krishna, he becomes very qualified and beautiful. So, Kubja, in the Bhagavatam, she's addressed as Prithivi, or Mother Earth. So she's an expansion of Prithivi, Bhumi Devi. Earth is an expansion of Prithivi. Prithivi is an expansion of Satyabhama. So she's an expansion of Satyabhama. So there's no, because Krishna's relationship with Kubja, conjugal relationship was there, but they are actually husband and wife, because she is an expansion of Satyabhama. That's when Lord Varahadev, he saved Prithivi, Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, and his tusks pulled her out of the ocean. At that time they had a relationship, and as a result of that, Bhomashara was born. He, due to bad association, he became a demon. But so when Krishna had to kill this demon, who was the son of Prithivi, or the son of Satyabhama, and originally there were expansions of Satyabhama. So Krishna had to kill this demon, so he took Satyabhama with him. You remember Satyabhama sat on Garuda and they went off to have a fight with Bhomashara. He took Satyabhama specifically because she's actually the mother in that form of Bhumi Devi or Prithivi. She's actually the mother of Satyabhama. So therefore, when Krishna was going to kill the demon wasn't fighting very fiercely, but it looked like he was, that the Bhomashara was getting more powerful. And so Satyabhama was a little bit an anxiety, you know, he looks really, really powerful. So, but Krishna was acting like that to him. And then he asked her permission, shall I kill him now? She said, yes, yes, kill him now. Because she's a mother, otherwise it wouldn't have been proper. So but with the permission of mother, then he could kill Bhomashara. And because Krishna said that, I come to relieve the burden of the earth, that's why I come here, to kill the demons and relieve the burden of the earth and establish righteousness. So, because Kubja was a hunchback. See, a hunchback woman, she had a bump on her back. That was a burden. That's why she was like that. She had that burden. So Krishna said, I come to relieve the burden of the earth. So you are Mother Earth. So he lifted her up straight and hunchback with her. So he relieved the burden of the earth, hunchback. And something else in that pastime. Oh, that's right. Because she is Mother Earth, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of the earth I am fragrance. I am the fragrance of the earth. So she was offering the fragrance. This was her service. She was the earth personified, and the fragrance of the earth was. So then she offered it to Krishna. Krishna said, in other words, she was offering her essence. Kupti was offering her essence in devotion to Krishna as Gandha, the scented place. I am the essence of the earth. So Kupti was offering her essence, actually. So it's complete surrender to Krishna by offering this. Essence is Gandha. Anyway, then Krishna and Balaram went on their way. This is all in a little walk, Krishna, just a little stroll in the city, but look at the events that happened. Then they said, where is that sacrifice being performed? They went to see that bow, huge bow, and Krishna walked up and he strung that bow. And it cracked so loudly that even Kamsa heard it in his palace. It was like his heart was cracking. What is that? What is that? So he sent some soldiers. But Krishna and Balaram, they killed them. And then they left their place and went back to their camp. They were camping a little bit out of Mathura. The kings, they would have special places, and they would set up, what do you say, tents, marquees, and nice tents, not like tent we go out on tent and we have a sleeping bag. No, these are, you know, like big pako ones with carpets on the floor and everything like that. But that was arrangement. They would make arrangements like that. So the visiting kings and everything, it's be quite luxurious. So Krishna and Balaram went home after their little stroll and a little bit of excitement, and they were quite happy, and they took some milk and went to sleep. And King Kamsa, he was complete anxiety. That eighth child, that's definitely him. Look at what he's already done. He's just given me a little hint of his prowess. Definitely he's going to kill me. So Kamsa didn't sleep whole night. Krishna and Balaram had a nice peaceful sleep. Kamsa, he couldn't sleep. And then he began to have many inauspicious visions. He could understand Krishna and Balaram, who had appeared in the precincts of the city, were his messengers of death. And he saw all kinds of inauspicious signs, both awake and dreaming. He looked in the mirror and he could not see his head. He saw the luminaries in the sky in double. You see two stars and everything. He could see holes in his shadow. He heard high buzzing sound within his ears, and all the trees before him appeared to be made of gold. They're all glittery, golden. Bad signs. In dreams, he saw. He could not see his own footprints in the dust or the clay when he walked. In dreams, he saw various kinds of ghosts being carried in a carriage drawn by donkeys. He dreamed someone was giving him poison and he was drinking it. He dreamed that he was going naked with a garland of flowers, smearing oil all over his body, like he was going for cremation. Thus, Kamsa saw various signs of death, both awake and in sleeping. He could understand that his death was certain. Of course, Kamsa was very Krishna conscious. Very Krishna conscious. He gave up his sleeping that night. But he was always Krishna conscious. He would go to his palace You see, eight steps.
Eight steps.
The eighth son of Krishna. You see, eight ministers. Krishna, the eighth son is going to kill me. Every time he saw eight, he was reminded of Krishna. And he's very Krishna conscious. Very Krishna conscious. Anyway, they made this nice arrangement. So Krishna and Balaram, everybody went, it was a big function, the Jano Jaga, King Kamsa was there, all the kings were there, including Nanda and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and bands were going and so much jubilation. And Kamsa was complete anxiety. But Krishna Balaram, he said, let's go and play in the Jamuna for a little while, it's not far from here. So they were down in the Jamuna, they were playing, and only when the intensity of all the drums and everything, oh, the Dano Jagar is, you know, they're waiting, actually everything was waiting for Krishna. Let's go back and see the fun now. So they played on the bank of the Jamuna, and they went to the wrestling arena. So it's like that, everything is waiting for Krishna. It's all about Krishna. Kamsa is all about Kamsa. It's his program, but actually it's all centered around Krishna. Kamsa was there waiting to start, but Krishna was just enjoying on the bank of the Jamuna. When Krishna comes, then everything happens. Everything, it's like something like Prabhupada. Wherever Prabhupada went, you know, happening, it would be happening. You know? And Bhavananda used to say, Prabhupada, wherever you go, it becomes an adventure. Prabhupada was laughing. He said, yeah, we always have an adventure when we go out somewhere. So Krishna was like that. Everything is said, wherever he goes, the happening is, you know, when he leaves and nothing's happening. Wherever he is, it's right now it's happening. And action after action. This is Krishna's the supreme enjoyer. Variety is the spice of life. Anyway, there was this big elephant at the front gate and he was trained. He was going to kill Krishna. What was his name? Very big elephant. And he charged Krishna, the caretaker said. Krishna said, hey, caretaker, get out of my way. But he would have been warned, you kill Krishna when he comes. So he tried to crush Krishna. The elephants, generally, they try to pin you on the ground because all their strength is here. And they'll crush all your chest, all your bones will break if they can get you in that position. Sometimes they're fighting with a tiger, usually the tiger wins. But if they happen to get the tiger on their head on the ground, then they will. Well, the ribs will be broken immediately. So anyway, Krishna, he ran around the back of Kuvalapidya. Elephants are short-sighted. So the elephant, where did Krishna go? And then he was around the back, and then Krishna would grab his tail and drag him backwards. Like this, they were having, Krishna was having a lot of fun with this huge elephant. Then the elephant charged him again, and Krishna went, knelt down before him and tripped him up. A huge elephant. Tripped him up. Then Krishna, he jumped up on his back and he jumped up and down and broke his back. So they were happy and they ripped a tusk, and Balaram got another tusk. They put the tusks over their shoulders. They look very beautiful. There's perspiration and spots of blood on there. They walked into the Danyo Yagna. Into the wrestle arena, looking like great heroes. And they were going to fight. Krishna was going to fight with the famous wrestler named? And Balaram was going to fight with? Mushtika. These were the most famous of the wrestlers. So they did that, and they killed them. And then other wrestlers come, and one after another, they were all being killed. Everyone was happy, and the drums were playing, and a big celebration. And really, only Kamsa was not happy. He was very angry and very upset. The whole thing had been spoiled. He had brought everything here to kill Krishna, and nothing had worked. So he was very angry. Drive all these people out of here. And Nanda Maharaj put in prison. And Ugrasena, his ways against me. Kill him. Kill Vasudeva also. He's so duplicitous. Krishna was really angry when he heard that. He jumped up, jumped over the barriers where Kamsa was sitting. Kamsa was waiting for this. He immediately pulled out his sword. But Krishna was very dexterous, and he grabbed him by his hair, and he knocked his crown off, and grabbed his hair, and he pulled him onto the arena, and he dragged him around. He sat on his chest, and he, just by punching him, Kamsa lost his life. Bhakta Kamsa ki. In his next life, he became Chankazi. So he got bhakti. So due to his close association with Krishna, he killed him in his life. So then Krishna killed Kamsa and established all the Jadu dynasty. They were all in fear of Kamsa. They were living in different cities, even they're living in caves out of fear of Kamsa. But now they're all freed. King Ugrasena was released from prison. He was a king again. And so Krishna, like this, kills all the demons and establishes the righteous. About 16? I think he just turned 16 because he left Mathura at Vrindavan at that time. 15 to 16. Arishtasur. The bull demon. Appearance of Radhakund. No, it's already started now. The darshan is there. Anyway, in the 10th canto, the end of the canto, Krishna is glorified by his different qualities and super excellencies. These 16,000 queens and 16,000 Krishnas in his palaces. And how Arjuna, he took Arjuna across the material ocean, through the material causal ocean, to the on his horse and chariot. So prove beyond doubt, Krishna proved beyond doubt that he is God. Nobody's ever equaled Krishna, and Krishna's activity in the history of, in the history of the world. He went through the material world into the spiritual world, went to meet the great Mahavishnu lying on the Karana ocean, and they offered him, like Krishna, Arjuna offered him prayers. So nobody has ever equaled these activities. 16,000 palaces, 16,000 queens, Krishna playing with these queens in the water, and they're squirting him with stringes and having water fights, and all their hair becomes loosened, and Kumkum is running over their chest, all this cloth is sticking to their bodies. And Prabhupada says it seems like a great function of material happiness. He said the Mayavadis would never dare to think things like this happen in the spiritual world. But they all do happen. The killing of the demons doesn't happen, but Krishna's pastime happens in the spiritual world. So in the history of the world, no one has ever equaled Krishna. And specifically five super excellencies. One was regarding how Krishna, when before the appearance of Krishna here, the river Ganges was the most purifying agent in the world. But since Krishna appeared here and mingled with the residents of the Jadu dynasty, the whole dynasty became more purifying than Ganga. And anybody who associated with the members of the Jadu dynasty, also they became purified. Another super excellent quality is that Lakshmi Ji, she would never leave him. Everybody's working hard to keep Lakshmi Ji. They want to worship Prabhupada. Everybody wants to keep Lakshmi. But she doesn't stay in one place very long. She's always here. Nobody can keep. Even Lord Brahma wants. But Krishna, even he's not so much attached to her, but still she won't leave service to his lotus feet. So that goddess of fortune, even all the great demigods aspiring, she never leaves Krishna's feet. Although she will leave everyone else's feet after some time, she will not stay. Chanchala. You're a rich family today, and next generation you lost it, or two more generations, or even this generation. But she always stays at the lotus feet of Krishna. And He's chanted the chanting of Krishna's name is especially glorified. The 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to 3 names of Rama, and 3 names of Rama is equal to 1 name of Krishna. And what was the other one? Anyway, these were some of the super excellent Krishna. So Krishna comes to display all these pastimes. You've heard about God. You've heard a lot of weird things about God also. God is there, there is no God. God is light, God is... But so Krishna is coming, and here I am, I put an end to all of your speculation. Here I am, look here, you can actually see my beautiful body, my beautiful yellow dhoti, my peacock feather, my celebrated flute, my pastimes. Look, this is, I'm marrying 16,000 wives, I'm dancing with billions of gopis, I've got 16,000 palaces, and I'm lifting a heel on my little finger for 7 days. Look, you don't have to speculate anymore. There's no need to. I'm showing you I am God. I'm not only just saying it, because any Mayavadi will also say I'm God. But Krishna says, I'm saying I'm God, but I'm proving it also. So here are all these wonderful activities. So never in the history of humankind did anybody equal Krishna, even come close to them. So this is that Supreme Lord who we've taken shelter of, whom we serve, and we hope is accepting our service. So today is his appearance day. We can try to offer some service, renew our vows today, make new vows, make new pledges on this very auspicious day of Krishna. Please help me maintain the vows in our Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is there. Today is a very special dress. The Supreme Personality God of Vishnu, situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared in the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, just like the full moon rising in the eastern horizon. So Krishna appeared to be the full moon arising on that day. Radha Madhava's dress is something like the full moon, yeah? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense... I read that. In the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was the same category of Sri Krishna. So, Panchatattva dress also, you can see right now. But they have a very special dress. On that dress is written the Nabadeep Bhavataranga, the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revealing the glories of the Dharma. All of the shlokas of that book are written on the Panchatattva Chadas. So it's a real Nabadeep treat. So Mahaprabhu appeared on the full moon, Krishna appeared on the dark moon, but although it was a dark moon, he appeared like the full moon. Jai Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. Jai Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you. Hare Krishna.